Coming up on show 687, the UK brings forward its fossil car ban, but this time it includes hybrids as well. Also on the podcast today, a Ford engineer spills the beans on the Mach-E. Production at the Gigafactory turns profitable for Panasonic. Big EV sales in Norway in January, and Formula E have revised their current gen car. Well, those stories and many more coming up on the podcast today. Good morning, good afternoon, or good evening, wherever you're listening around the world. Welcome to EV News Daily, Tuesday, 4th of February. My name is Martin Lee, and I go through every EV story so you don't have to. Thank you to MyEV.com for helping make the show, because they are busy as well at the moment planning EVs and tea. It's a big EV meetup with over 600 cars booked in already. Boom! It's going to be a big event this Saturday at Base Camp Miami. Want to go? I'd love to go. I did look at the flights. Norwegian Airlines as well. 400 quid. I can't quite stump that up. And also, even if I could, it's my wife's birthday this weekend. It literally wouldn't be worth my life coming home after a weekend in Miami missing her birthday. However, if you are going along to it, maybe a road trip, maybe you're driving, going to be an amazing EV meetup. EVs and Tea is the event. EVSANDTEA.com is the website. Okay, let's get into the news today then. And a ban on the sale of new petrol, diesel and even hybrid cars could go into effect in the UK as soon as 2035 under a new proposal by the Prime Minister Boris Johnson. Well, that deadline is 5 years earlier than previously planned, reports Autoblog. You see, the UK government in 2018 said it plans to outlaw the sale of petrol and diesel cars, new cars and vans, starting in the year 2040. But that proposal still permitted low-emission hybrid cars. Well, the new proposal not only moves the date 5 years closer, it also permits only zero emissions vehicles. Zero emissions at the tailpipe vehicles. This whole thing with the UK government, and maybe this is, if you're not listening in the UK, similar to the kind of politicians that you have where you live. First of all, a few years ago, they announced this ban was coming up. 2040, we're only going to allow electric cars. And so the press reported on that, but quite rightly so. Those in the EV press, myself included a couple of years ago, said, oh, that's great. What do you mean by electric cars? Do you mean hybrid cars, electrified cars, cars with a plug socket, soft hybrid cars, 48-volt systems? And the government went away and went, oh, we'll have a think about it. We'll come back to you. And a couple of months later, they did come back and go, we've looked again at the plans. And we're only going to allow hybrid cars and electric cars. So we all said, what do you mean by hybrid? But this time they actually had put some more meat on the bones of it, because the first plan they put out was really half-baked. This time, though, they said, look, it's going to have to be some sort of ultra-low emission vehicle. So unless a car has got some form of electrification, it was going to be banned from 2040. Well, interestingly, the UK's upcoming ban actually includes hybrid vehicles now, which have been long promoted by established car makers, the big OEMs. They call them electrified cars. And some of them even call them electric cars. And yet, save for plug-in hybrids, which can be charged from an EV charging station and on clean, green, solar, wind, renewable energy, hybrids, like anything that Toyota make, like the Prius, still use petrol as their sole source of fuel, says Teslarati. You see, you won't get a Prius to move unless you put polluting fossil fuels inside it. They would argue, of course, it's self-charging, but as you and I know, no such thing as a self-charging hybrid. With hybrid cars now part of the ICE ban, all of a sudden it doesn't seem like a very smart move by those companies to have invested all that money in technology that is way outdated. And actually, you and I and everybody else could see that electric cars were the future. It's why I'm making this, and I'm guessing why you're listening to this. It's why we have this conversation every single day. And yet the big car makers insisted, no, we're not going full electric. Hybrid's the future, you see. Well, now the government in this country see things differently. They want pure electric cars or pure zero emissions cars. They haven't been specific. They've said, well, look, if hydrogen technology or AN other technology, for whatever reason comes about, hasn't got to be battery, It's got to be zero emissions. Well, the Telegraph newspaper said that Britain's biggest car maker, Jaguar Land Rover, and other luxury UK auto firms will be among the biggest victims of a ban on diesel and petrol sales by 2035, analysts fear. Experts said that Jaguar Land Rover is seriously exposed as profits depend on the large SUVs produced by its Land Rover arm that outsells Jaguar models by 3-1. Well, it's understood that executives at the firm had no advance warning of government plans to bring forward the ban on diesel and petrol sales by that five-year plan. Moving the deadline could also mean car companies writing off earlier investment in hybrid technology. And I'd agree with the Telegraph newspaper there. It just does seem like this is the way it's going. France, the Netherlands, Norway, many countries have put these, Scotland as well, have said that although they've got no regulatory power to do it, Scotland's going to be more ambitious and, you know, more of an advisory ban, as it were. They're going to do it by putting in a charging infrastructure and disincentivising fossil cars. But so many countries are doing it. Surely, if you're in the boardroom of a big car company, you know what's coming. You can't have your head in the sand any longer. And if you've made big investments in outdated hybrid technology as a big car company, well, you need to change. And although, you know, so I get it if you're listening to the podcast and you're thinking, look, it's 15 years away. Yes, you're correct. But big car companies make these investment cycles, maybe not on a 15-year, actually some of them do on a 15-year, but certainly half that. Certainly a 7-year investment cycle would be the topic of conversation around the boardroom. And so, yes, they do need to start moving to full electric very, very quickly if this goes ahead. Well, David Greenwood is a professor of advanced propulsion at Warwick University. And hey, who am I to argue? He's a professor, and I'm talking on a podcast, but he said this, and I quote, "It's very difficult to deliver big, heavy cars like full SUVs, which are fully electric, that have long range that people expect," end quote. Well, Mr. Greenwood, yeah, I would say it is difficult, but it's not impossible. There are some really great big SUVs on the market, and we'll start with the long-standing one, Tesla Model X. Yep, they seem to do it, and they seem to do it with a very long range. Audi e-tron, 50 and 55, Jaguar I-Pace, Mercedes-Benz EQC, and lots more coming. And actually, what are you talking about making big, heavy cars that don't have long range? Cybertruck's going to be 500 miles plus. Anyway, like I say, I'm sure he's a far smarter gentleman. I know he's a far smarter gentleman than I am if he's a professor of advanced propulsion, but he does say it's difficult to do it. Well, he doesn't say it's impossible, so I can't, in a way, we're both in agreement. It is very difficult, but it's doable. Difficult things are doable. According to BBC News, the change in the plans, which will be subject to a consultation period, comes after experts warned the previous target of 2040 would still leave old conventional cars on the roads well past the clean-up date of 2050. That's 30 years' time, and that's another very important thing to remember here. All of these bans coming into force, it just means that when you walk into a showroom on January the 1st, 2035, okay, and there'll be no showrooms left, it'll all be online or virtual reality or something like that. It just means that you won't be able to buy a new car that is a combustion car. So no one's going to stop you driving those cars in 2035. Well, naturally, there was outrage on the internet today from those people that can't possibly get their head around a different future than the one they have at the moment. From the website thisismoney.co.uk, they said this, however, the inclusion of hybrid and plug-in hybrid vehicles marketed until now as green models might have come as a shock to some. Essentially, the manufacturers who have heavily invested in their development and the UK motorists who have paid a premium to buy one. What came as more of a shock was the decision to outlaw so-called hybrid cars from that date too, meaning that those that run on a combination of petrol and diesel plus electricity won't be on sale from 2035. A decision to remove financial incentives to help motorists buy plug-in hybrid cars at the end of 2018 was the first signal the government was turning its back on hybrid technology. Yeah, that's true, actually. The signs have certainly been out there if you've been reading the tea leaves. when at the end of the year before last, the government took away the incentives for plug-in hybrids. You knew the writing was on the wall. They reduced them for fully electrics, but they're still very much in place for full electric cars. Look, there was a lot of people online today. There was huge outrage. There was even those big industry bodies like we have a trade body in this country that sort of positions themselves as the arbiter or the thought leader on what we should all be thinking about cars. They're called the SMMT, the Society of Motor Manufacturers and Traders. They're a trade body. They're funded by their members. Their members are the motor organisation. And like any good trade body, it's their job to represent the views of their paymasters. They're not a government body. They're not an independent body that in some way has the right to speak on behalf of the consumers. They did get quoted a lot today, and of course they're not very happy about this, but they're just doing their job. It's not their job to be impartial. It's their job to represent those that keep their lights turned on, the ones that pay the bills. That's the big automakers, and they don't want this. It's enormously inconvenient to their profit. Those kind of comments were coming out today, and it was interesting to watch. Do you think there's a consultation period to happen? Do you think it'll actually go ahead? And if you're not listening in this country, wherever you are, do you think that your government should put in a similar proposal? Would it work where you're listening? Should they be more ambitious? Should it be 2030? Or maybe you think that these kind of things are just going to happen naturally by the market. By the next 5 years, everyone's going to realise that EVs are just better. And just market forces, you know, follow the money. People will want to drive cheaper, more fun cars. Let me know. I'd always love to hear your thoughts. It was a big, big story today. So I've done 10 minutes on it today. Right, let's move on. A Ford engineer hosted an Ask Me Anything session on Reddit over the weekend. Okay, I'm not sure how official this Ford engineer was meant to be doing an AMA session on Reddit. And actually, is there any proof that this person really did work for Ford? I don't know. The thread has long been deleted now. In it, though, this person that said they were a Ford engineer let us in on a few new bits of information about the Ford Mach-E, like the battery and the charging specs, and particularly compared it to a Model Y. And the article in Electrek today says the engineer was less complimentary of Tesla's manufacturing capabilities. While they had great things to say about the Tesla's battery and motor engineering, the Mach-E has a face camera, which, built into the steering wheel cluster, is going to be used for autonomous driving purposes. It can tell whether the driver is alert and paying attention. That's something that the Model Y doesn't have. The engineer says it's going to be better than Tesla's autopilot NAG system, which requires the steering wheel movement every once in a while, allowing a more natural experience because you can rest your arms, says the Ford engineer. Also, the Mach-E's cluster, capable of side-by-side displays of all the Ford information, plus next to Apple CarPlay or Android Auto. Yeah, that's a good point, actually. It's one of the things that, it's not a deal-breaker for Tesla fans, obviously, because, you know, plenty of people, hundreds of thousands of people, are buying Teslas. But Android Auto and Apple CarPlay would be a nicety to have. It would be nice to have it in those cars. Lots of people do. They do want that. There's obviously a very good reason why Tesla don't want to open their software, their ecosystem up to people using, you know, like having an Apple experience while in a Tesla. It's obviously just a thing that they, I mean, I'm sure they could. They have incredibly talented software engineers. The fact they haven't tells me more that it's not because they can't, it's because they don't want to for, you know, whatever reason. But Ford are putting that in, and I must agree, it is nice to have those features. You can just plug your phone in, get your sat-nav, Google Maps or Waze or whatever you're doing. Okay, let's move on. And one of the reasons the Tesla share price has just gone through the roof this week, of their many reasons, actually, but one of them was a statement issued by Panasonic and a new report by Panasonic, of course, Tesla's longtime battery partner. An increase in their automotive battery sales. The main factor was an increase in the 2170 cylindrical cells, which go inside the Model 3s and now the Model Y at Tesla's North American Gigafactory. The production lines for Tesla are now profitable, not only on a monthly basis, but over the year in 2019, says Inside EVs. On the other hand, the cylindrical cells produced in Japan, also the 18650s, like the ones that go inside Model S and Model X, are decreasing in how many they're making. The decrease affects also the prismatic batteries in the North American market for Panasonic. But the 2170s that go inside Model 3, Model Y, and you would presume also new Roadster, and semi-truck and Cybertruck, although we don't know. Maybe that'll be a different technology after we find out more at Battery Day in April. Those ones are on the increase. Talking of things on the increase, in Norway, big EV sales. 4,236 electric cars were registered in Norway in the first month of the year. The market share of pure battery electric vehicle cars, the registrations, was 44.3%, by far the most popular model across all drive systems was the, drumroll please, Audi e-tron took the lead, says Electrive. Well, there were 3,270 hybrid cars, and about 2,000 of those had plugs on. If both types are added together, almost 80%, 78.5%, 78.5% of all newly registered cars in Norway had a plug. Holy moly! That's a big deal. 4 out of 5 cars had a plug socket. You know, we went to Norway last year on holiday. And whilst there are many, many EVs, and it's great because you walk down the street and you go, EV, 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 awesome. There are still, even though 4 out of 5 cars had a plug socket, it's a massive EV market. Even then, you see so many old fossil cars still driving around. And it was a real lesson to me as well that even if you put a ban in today, even if today you banned anything but pure electric cars, in 10, 12, 15 years' time, there's still going to be really disgusting, polluting cars on the road. They don't go away because of the inertia. They don't go away on the day that you ban them. Well, moving on, and customers who purchase a Mitsubishi Outlander plug-in hybrid electric vehicle are going to be able to charge it for free. With the first 10,000 miles through the UK energy firm OVO Energy, the two companies announced, according to Business Green, the new owners of the Outlander that do switch to OVO's green energy tariff, it's called EV Everywhere, I think, is going to benefit from the deal. The account is going to be credited with £20 a month for 2 years to cover the cost of charging the vehicle. 50,000 Outlanders have been registered in the UK since 2014. It is the most popular plug-in hybrid car here. Well, in Germany, Cluno, C-L-U-N-O, Cluno? Cluno. Cluno is a German company that helps its customers drive, they say, in a cost-effective manner. It's marketed towards those who would rent a car but don't want to own one, and it includes several different EV models now in its lineup, says Cleantechnica. Well, Cluno has 6 electric vehicles to choose from. The cheapest one's the Renault Zoe ZE50. That's €449 a month. The most expensive is the Model 3, long-range all-wheel drive, at €1,299 a month. And I'll pop a link to Autoblog in the show notes. There's one in this country as well, isn't there? I forget. I want to go and talk to them. They're in London as well, so a couple of hours away from me. I want to go interview them. There's more of these companies. I forget their name, but you unlock the car with your phone. Anyway, there's more of these companies cropping up now around the world. And yeah, people who don't want to own a car, or even people who don't want a lease for a car, don't mind renting one because they know that they'll have it for a month, and then at the end of the month, choose to keep it or give it back. And whilst it's an incredibly expensive way to have personal transports, for some people, it suits them. Not the cheapest, but it's definitely convenient. And, you know, of course, let's not forget you can change your car whenever you want to. You can have 12 different cars, one for every month of the year. If where you live has particularly bad weather, you might have a two-wheel drive sedan during the summer. And then as the weather gets worse, you might choose to long-term rent kind of a four-wheel drive or a utility vehicle over those months. In many ways, it makes sense. I do understand that. I know it wouldn't suit me long term, but I have kind of fancied going through the experience just to sort of, you know, see what it's like. I don't need to. We've got 2 cars in the driveway, but I kind of fancy it. Anyway, just to live that experience of having a car that you don't have the keys to, but your phone unlocks it, you have mileage limits, but everything's taken care of. So they pay the insurance, the maintenance, the tyres. You know, there's pros and cons, right? Well, The Renault Megane is the next car from Renault to get plug-in technology. The new Megane offers the new powertrain with the E-Tech plug-in hybrid system, a four-cylinder, 1.6-litre petrol engine with two electric motors and a multi-mode clutchless gearbox. The battery's 10 kilowatt-hours, electric mode for 30 miles, actually, maybe even 40 miles if you just doing the urban, pootling around town, doing your chores kind of cycle. According to leasing.com, another car that, again, if you don't want to go full electric, could have its pros and cons. Hey, question of the week this week. On a scale of 1 to 10, 1 being not at all and 10 being completely, how much did the environment come into the factor of you buying an EV? And if you haven't bought one yet, how much will it? Email me hello@evnewsdaily.com. Leave a comment in the socials or YouTube comment section. Well, there are 231 patrons of the podcast that keep me going. And thank you very much to my premium partners, Phil Roberts of Electric Future, Brad Crosby, and, of course, Avid Technology. There are 686 previous shows in the archive. If you can leave a review on Apple Podcasts, the new name for the iTunes, and you're on that platform, you can leave a little star rating out of 5, say a few words. And I know you're busy. If you get a chance to do that, it does help me grow the show. Come and say hi on Twitter, search EV News Daily. Have a wonderful day. Catch you tomorrow. And remember, there's no such thing as a self-charging hybrid.